I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do your prayers please God? Last Sunday, now, I said that Jesus can be very disappointing because his thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. And he's stubbornly opposed to compromising our eternal best. And this means that the will of God is always good, yet seldom predictable. I have an example here from Acts. Acts chapter 12. The Lord allows King Herod to kill the Apostle James, one of the sons of thunder. And then, same story, rescues the Apostle Peter, the rock, from prison. Hard to predict, but I want to read this to you. Acts 12, starting at 11, it says, "Then Peter went to the house where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. She was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.' 'You're out of your mind,' they told her. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." I wanted you to see that it's always good to pray. Even if our thoughts and ways are so inferior that we're bound to be astonished by the answer. Because when we pray the right way, doors open. Thing is, we have it in our head that we're the ones doing all the knocking with our praying, when in reality, the rock often stands at the door and knocks. And we hesitate to open up and let his answer in. You know why? Rhoda! A little flaky, that one. So, the prayers that please our Father, regardless of whether we're praising or thanking or requesting, are those that open our heart to him. So how, pray tell, are we to pray? Well, I'm glad I asked, because as a pastor, I happen to know that most believers struggle with prayer. If you're not the scheduled prayer type person, prayer can feel like a haphazard afterthought. And if you are the scheduled prayer type, well, prayer can feel like another chore to check off. And many who would never admit it even to themselves sort of unconsciously conclude that prayer doesn't do much. I mean, the lights stay on, the bills get paid, the dog gets fed, so, you know, we amp it up when something bad happens. And, you know, and we need to get God's attention and hopefully, you know, squeeze a little miracle out of him. Now, that's probably not you. It's those other believers who won't admit it to themselves. And yet, when it comes to prayer, most of us are hot and then cold, on again, off again, up, down, touch the ground. It's like this guy who cried out every week at church, and it's okay, he's Pentecostal. And he cried out every week at church for God to fill him again with his spirit. And one Sunday, his wife's had enough. She yells, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." Well, what if we got the whole prayer thing mostly backwards? What if the main point of prayer is to get our attention? In order to get our attention refocused and recalibrated and realigned to our Father's will, so that He can get us to do something for Him. What if that's the main purpose of prayer? Because that'd mean we have the whole thing kind of upside down. Well, if you're in need of a little guidance from God on praying, you're certainly not alone. Do you know that's the first thing Jesus' 12 apprentices asked about after they were chosen? Check out Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Stop. Just look at that. Look at praying in a certain place. That is a telltale harmonize me challenge. And it's a fairly simple one, actually. If we seek, we find. The story's only told in one other place in Matthew. And that Jesus is on the hillside. That certain place, he's on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee. And that praying he's doing, he's praying all night in order to choose his 12. Okay, now we know where the certain place is. Jesus prayed. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, understand, the boys aren't beginners when it comes to prayer. Hardly. Their Jewish heritage required a strict practice of memorized prayers that began in early childhood. Every morning, every night, three other set times each day, before eating, after eating, and many other occasions. Some historians estimate that devout Jewish men in that day prayed 3 to 4 hours a day. So if these guys need guidance, I don't feel so bad, because so often my biggest prayer guilt concerns the amount of time I spend in, you know, formal prayer. But look at their request isn't about quantities or schedules. Those they know. Obviously, they could see something very different in the way he prayed. Prayer wasn't a duty, but a delight. It didn't tax him. It refreshed him and recharged him. And Jesus didn't settle for a pre-recorded prayers at predetermined times. And yet, it was never haphazard with him. No, he enjoyed getting away to pray at all hours of the day and night for the sheer delight of conversing with Dad. I mean, if anyone didn't need it, it was Jesus. He and the Father were already one. And here's the thing. This was nothing like these boys had ever seen. Teach us to pray like that. Teach us to pray. And now Jesus had just spent all night praying about them. So his response is their first taste of what would be the norm with Jesus. An answer that is unexpected, counterintuitive, challenging, confusing, and of course, life-changing. Because right now, he's prayed all night. They're coming to him. It's like they expect more religious duty. But true to form, Jesus gives them less, much less. He gives them truth instead of duty. And as they'd come to know as also being true to form, his answer is amazingly comprehensive and incredibly concise. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's just 52 words in the NIV. Known throughout the world as the Lord's Prayer. But that's incomplete. It should be known for what it is. It should be known as the Lord's Prayer Guide. Because that's what it is. Do you know there are at least 12, count them, 12 different relationships with God covered in the Lord's Prayer Guide? Let's just go through them. Our Father. What's that relationship? Dad. Number one, Dad. In heaven. Creator. hallowed be your name. Deity, your kingdom come. King, your will be done. Master, do you know that's the word? That's what Lord means. On earth, as it is in heaven, transformer. Give us this day our daily bread. Provider, and forgive us our debts. Judge, as we forgive our debtors. Mentor, and lead us not into temptation. Shepherd, but deliver us from evil. Savior, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Friend, know why? Because right before the cross, Last Supper, Jesus said that he calls them friends who know their master father's business. But however you slice it, that is a lot to ponder as we pray that simple prayer. Oh, and did you know that a huge part of the Lord's prayer guide are the three big warnings that precede it? Warning number one. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Okay? So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Why? For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. What's their reward? People saw them. Some reward, huh? So are you a hypocrite? Are you a hypocrite for not praying as you know you should? No, that's not hypocrisy. It's failure. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm a failure. And failure doesn't make you a hypocrite. Insincerity does. So the big question, because God doesn't mind failures, we just have to admit it and come to him. Bigger question that Jesus is getting at is this: do you present in public what you are in private? If not, stop praying about everything else and get that one, get this thing right with God right now. Because Jesus demands, and I mean demands, sincerity, authenticity, and genuineness. Now, I've been asked on occasion why we don't pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday at His place. And that is a great question, and I have a strong opinion. And it's based in large part on Jesus' next warning. Having just said not to be like those who pray in public, Jesus now warns, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Because if you want to be like Dad, you should be unseen as well when you're praying. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Lord must love irony, because he sure seems to set us up for it. We're specifically warned to pray the Lord's Prayer guide both sincerely and secretly. And yet, I mean, come on, there is no other prayer that is more often recited both mechanically and publicly. Does that please you? Does that prayer please you, Father? It's a little different than how you prescribed it. It's, you know, just the complete opposite. But and I know, I can hear you saying, but I find comfort in the Lord's Prayer. Get ready to be offended. We're not supposed to find comfort in a prayer. We're supposed to find comfort in our Father as we faithfully follow, obediently surrender, share our deepest, darkest secrets, and allow him to speak to our heart. Oh, and there comes the comfort. Why is this such a private prayer closet affair, this Lord's Prayer guide? because it's meant to be seriously personalized, not mechanically recited. That's why it's so private. You're supposed to say things, supposed to embellish with things you would never say in public. You see, the disciples asked right away. He chose 12 and one stepped forward and said, "Will you teach us to pray?" They teach us to pray, not will you teach us a prayer? There is a big difference between those two things. And that's probably why there's no record of this prayer being repeated verbatim or publicly by the disciples. No epistle or letter in the New Testament, no epistle instructions given to recite it. In fact, the shorthand version in Luke doesn't even match Matthew's when you harmonize them together. Some of the words are left out of Luke. So it's not like they were trying to keep it just so. It's not a magic prayer. It's not an incantation or a spell. God doesn't do that. But this doesn't mean we can't pray it together, okay? Or publicly. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It just means that we can't let that, you know, praying it together and publicly, replace its intended function as Jesus' framework to build our private prayers upon. It's the Lord's prayer guide. And we can't let it become a mechanical and therefore meaningless tradition. Boy, oh boy, does Jesus hate that stuff, huh? And it can certainly be prayed with sincerity as is. In fact, it should be our goal, really, to wrap our minds around each phrase to such a degree that we can honestly speak his words as an expression from our own heart. But there's a third warning. And when you pray, okay, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Okay. Why? Well, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Well, then why should we pray? Why? Yes, okay. I'll tell you why. For the conversation. He understands before you explain, right? He's already working on it before you ask, right? But here's the weirdness. He's only already on it in advance because he knew you were going to. The purpose of prayer isn't to get God to act. It's to stay in touch and to partner up with Dad. And, very important, to tell him our deepest, darkest secrets and realign and refocus and learn to trust his answers because he answers our prayers. We just don't like a lot of his answers. But whatever you do, do not insult and demean and malign your one and only omnipotent ally by babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Rome's multi-god state religion in Jesus' day was crucial to its identity. With roughly 40 annual festivals, sacred days, and they weren't all one-day festivals, sacred days outnumbered non-sacred days. And I don't know if you know this, Romans saw themselves as highly religious. And they ascribed their supremacy to their collective piety. Did you know that they saw Christians as atheists. They saw atheist and superstitious. And rejection of Rome's religion was considered treasonous. Look, this is the Temple of Bacchus. Look close at the Temple of Bacchus. Them's people. There's people. I don't know if you knew how big this thing is. Oh my goodness, I think that's Rhoda. Oh, quite the globetrotter, that one. The philosophy was based on a contractual principle. I don't know the Latin for it, but it translates to, I give that you might give. This is the basis of their whole religion. I give that you might give. And it depended. There was nothing about it. It was based on faith or doctrine. It was contractual. It was based on the correct practice of prayer and ritual and sacrifice. And of these, prayer formulas were considered the most potent, like magic spells. Therefore, public prayers had to be, we're talking about the Romans, the pagan Romans now, not the hypocrites. We got the two different groups here. Their public prayers had to be performed professionally and faultlessly. If a mistake was made, they had to redo the whole thing. And at each home's daily prayer shrine, private prayer wasn't personal expression. That wasn't its purpose. It was formulaic recitation to accomplish specific goals. That's pagan prayer. Maybe that's a big part of why Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire in 380 AD. The purpose of prayer isn't to bend God's will to meet mine, but to bend mine to meet His. Prayers prayed right are like a spiritual chiropractor, only they adjust our soul back into alignment. Pagan babbling is nothing more than an attempt to control supernatural powers for personal gain. You don't do your prayers that way, right? As those people that won't admit it to themselves. Whereas effective prayer is a process of surrender. Long story short, we're not in Rome, so don't do as the Romans. Plus, James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Because just like Jesus said, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Reward? What's our reward? He's going to answer my prayers? So this is an incredibly significant question because Jesus promises that God will reward us for praying privately and sincerely. So if you've prayed earnestly and alone and yet seem to have missed out on your reward, only one of two things can be true. Jesus is lying, which actually can't be, so it's got to be whatever the next one is. Or you have the wrong idea about your reward. Yeah, that's what I figured. You know, when my kids were young, I'd sometimes bring home little gifts in my coat pockets. So when they saw me come through the door, they'd usually yell, "What'd you bring?" And if I had something, I'd say, "Check my coat." And when I didn't have anything and they yelled, "What'd you bring?" I'd yell back, "Me." And you can imagine what a letdown that was. But as they matured, their demands subsided. Just go with it for the sake of the analogy. And they began to embrace me and appreciate me more than the things I brought them. They grew up and realized that relationships are reciprocal and that presents are inferior to presence. Okay, so what's the reward from our dad? Well, I thought I made that clear. His presence and assurance and affection and guidance. And if that's a letdown, you need to grow up. Because if our prayer life doesn't grow in depth and intimacy, we burn out on, off, up, down. You know why? Because you can only beg for so long. Jesus didn't give us an incantation to get Dad's attention. Just the opposite. And we're going to dig a whole lot deeper into this over the next couple of weeks. So until then, hey, consider yourself warned. And let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.